Let's dip back into the mailbag. Why not? Let's hand some season awards out before the season even starts. Why not? And when did I decide that I want to do basketball for the rest of my life? All right now. I'm the Locked On Celtics. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Very happy that you've chosen to do so. I'm John Corrales. I am here for you Monday through Friday, except for the next 2 weeks where I'm going on vacation, but I have a segment already planned out, a 7-episode series on Brad Stevens' coaching era, a deep dive into the coaching era from beginning to end, where we've concluded, me, Mike Dine, and Chuck McKinney, all joining in for a 7-episode series starting next week. So while I'm away on vacation, I wanted to leave you with something that's going to be here. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts on the YouTube channel. It'll be on both. So 4 episodes next week, 3 the following week, and then the season starts. So I'm here for you. I cover the Boston Celtics, by the way, for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can buy anywhere books are sold. You can buy a signed, personalized copy on my website, johncorrales.com, for $30. So I was thinking about what episode I was going to do today. What was today's topic going to be? And then I looked at the mailbag submissions, and there were still a lot. There were still 11 questions. And 5 or 6 per episode keeps us in that half hour range or so, which is where we want to be on the Locked On Podcast Network, half hour shows or so. And I thought, a lot of you have submitted your questions. I wanted to get to all of them before I went on vacation. This way, all of the answers come in before training camp starts, before other things take my attention away. I don't want to leave any questions unanswered. So I figured, what the hell? Why not? I did one mailbag podcast earlier. I'm going to do another one tomorrow. I wasn't planning on doing one today, but there are so many questions. Let's just do it. Let's just hop back into the mailbag and start with Dan H., who says, think the Celtics would have any interest in packaging a couple of players to try to trade for Ben Simmons? Dan, no. I don't think so. First of all, I don't think the Celtics are going to have what the Sixers want unless they give up Jaylen Brown, which is the Sixers have a high asking price. The Celtics absolutely in no way, shape, or form should consider, think about trading Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons. If Brad Stevens wakes up and says, hey, I had a dream that I traded Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons, he should be fired on the spot. That's how much I don't want to trade for Ben Simmons. I understand how good he can be. I also understand he's a regular season player until he shows that he's made improvements. I went all in on this on the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. You can listen to that for more thoughts. I just don't think that Ben Simmons has improved over the course of his time in the NBA when he should have improved. He should have grown into a more dynamic player. He has the potential to be a perennial all-NBA player. And you know what? He just doesn't want to do it. He's good. He's really good. But he doesn't care to improve. There's no growth to his game. When you look at Tatum, you look at Brown, they've grown. Look at Marcus Smart even. He's grown as a player. Even those of you who don't like Marcus Smart or whatever should be able to see that he's at least grown as a player. There is nothing in, like, Ben Simmons has come into the league, was good, and has been basically that good throughout his entire NBA career. I don't like that. I want to see some growth. On top of it, he's under contract for the next 4 years. The last year of his deal is like a $40 million year. To get to that salary to match what the Sixers are going to be asking for, what Daryl Morey is going to want, no, the Celtics can't do it. They shouldn't do it unless they get desperate, unless Philly gets desperate, has no offers, and Ben Simmons says, I don't care, I'm out, do whatever, and an Al Horford and Josh Richardson trade, it, you know, is enough, in which case it's so little that you're giving up that you kind of have to do it. But that's just an impossible scenario. That's not going to get to that place. Other teams are going to step up if it becomes that desperate. So, no, Simmons is out. Anthony asks, on a previous episode, you mentioned the impact former coaches have on players. My question is in regards to the front office. How much impact does the front office have on the rotation? You stated several times that Smart and Rob are pretty much guaranteed starters because of the extensions they signed. But what if Udoka doesn't see it that way? Can Brad influence how much certain players play? So I think that the front office works in conjunction with the coach in a lot of ways. Now, the coach has input. Every coach generally should have input on personnel decisions because they're going to say, I want to coach this guy. This guy is very coachable. I feel this. And then, you know, the front office can say, well, too bad. We have to make these moves. I'm sorry to say this, but you're going to lose one of these guys. Pick one or whatever. The front office doesn't really usually say, you have to play these guys and play them this many minutes. But at the same time, the coach does work for the front office. And so last season, Brad Stevens played Tristan Thompson because he kind of had to. You kind of had to play Tristan Thompson because of the money that he made. So, yes, when Marcus Smart got that extension, it does seem like the Celtics have, as a unit, decided, okay, Udoka comes in and he has to be asking about the plan. The Celtics interviewed him, but he also was interviewing the Celtics in a lot of ways. When you're a sought-after candidate, which he was, he had to be asking the Celtics, hey, what is your plan for Marcus Smart? I noticed that he's an expiring contract. Hey, what is your plan for Robert Williams? I personally would like to be able to coach these guys. I would love to have the opportunity to get my hands on Marcus Smart and his defensive ability, Robert Williams, and see how that goes. So I think there's some level here of the coach having an influence on keeping these guys versus not keeping these guys. But the front office can say, hey, I want to make sure that we're getting minutes for this guy. I need to see him play. Let's work him into the rotation if you can. And that may cause some headbutting in some situations, but I think that there is some level of that going on. So how much influence does the front office have? Depends on the front office, depends on the coach. A coach that's maybe on the last leg of his contract may capitulate a little bit more. A coach like Greg Popovich, who is basically unfireable, may say, hey, I'm playing my guy. Whoever I want to play, I'm going to play. And hey, if Udoka says, you know what? I'm going to bring Marcus off the bench. He and Brad are going to have a conversation, and he and Marcus are going to have a conversation. So it's a more team-centric thing in the NBA, full organizational decision. This isn't like college. This isn't like high school, where the coach basically recruits his players, comes in and says, this is it. I don't think you're playing well. Boom, sit. You're benched. NBA is a different animal. 82-game season, long season, lots of money involved, contracts involved, legacies. Players have their legacies in mind for certain guys. There's, you know, politics involved. You know, there's a lot more involved. It's a deeper, more extensive kind of conversation for everybody. And Udoka is the coach. He gets the final say in a lot of these player things. And I think Brad Stevens can say, hey, this is your team. You're going to work with these guys. I think the most important thing, I will leave it at this. The most important thing is, for when a coach does make the final decision, that the front office says, hey, he's the coach. If Marcus Smart gets benched, let's say, and he hates that, And he goes up to Brad and he's fuming. Brad Stevens has to say, hey, man, look, I get it. You're going to have to work this out with Ime. You two are going to have to work this out. He's our coach. He is going to be our coach. I understand your frustration. I'll let you vent. You can scream and yell and all of that stuff. And we can all have the conversation if you want. But he's the head coach. And you need to go work it out, really, with him. The front office has to back up the coach. Even if they have some other conversations in the background or whatever, front office has to back up the coach. All right, I'm going to come back. We'll talk about some, what the hell? We'll give out some awards for this upcoming season. I'm going to talk about that after I talk to you about DirecTV Stream. We know how this goes. One device is where you watch the game. The other device is where you watch your shows. And then you're watching highlights on your phone. You're borrowing a login from somebody else for the good stuff. You're all over the place. So I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment that you love without the hassle, in a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. Brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part is there's no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. I've told you about my Wednesday Locked On NBA show. We've got rotating hosts. On Thursday, it's Jackson Gatlin, Matt Moore, telling you whose NBA stock is up and down on Thursday. So make sure you're following the Locked On NBA podcast today on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Let's hop back into the mailbag. Ja asks, I'm going to start by saying I'm a firm believer that we're sleeping on Jabari as a reclamation project, but based on your last mailbag, I know where you stand on this subject. Thank you for listening regularly. I'd love to hear your opinion on the Celtics depth chart, and that could possibly look like this in your assessment of its floor, ceiling, strengths, and weaknesses. Point guard, Smart, Schroeder, Pritchard, shooting guard, Brown, Richardson, Langford, small forward, Tatum, Nesmith, power forward, Wancho, Jabari, Grant, Bruno, center, Rob, Al, and Cantor. I would say that's pretty much right on. I can quibble about Grant Williams hopefully being ahead of Jabari Parker, but we all know my take on that. So its floor, its ceiling, its strengths, and its weaknesses. This is how I see the depth chart kind of looking, right? Smart, Brown, Tatum, Rob are your starters. Now, are they starting Wancho? Are they starting Richardson? That, I think, to me is the question. I think those are the top two candidates to start. So in this scenario, we're starting Wancho. Maybe that's going to be how it pans out. Maybe they're going to end up starting Richardson. Maybe they're going to go a different direction, surprise us a little bit. It's all possible. But for this, I'm assuming that if this is the opening night starting lineup, Wancho Hernangómez has earned his start in the preseason and has come out and shown that he can hit those threes and be a contributor offensively. So I like that. That means that there is a shooter at the stretch four position. That means that Smart and Tatum have at least one guy out there. Brown and Tatum have at least one other guy out there that can shoot reliably. If things go the way I think they can with Smart and he's getting more corner three-pointers, then he could be a guy who actually ends up being a bit of a threat out there in the corners. Rob with the lob threat. I like that starting lineup. Now, it's not going to be as good defensively as the one with Richardson in there. The Richardson starting lineup, the real benefit of that is that lineup can be one of the top defensive starting fives in the league. That Smart, Brown, Tatum, Richardson, Rob can be a suffocating defense. Wancho is not really a great defender at all. But if he can figure it out and be passable, just be passable. Don't be a liability, just be neutral. Then that's okay. Because now you've got a bench, and it won't always be the all five guys But Schroeder, Richardson, Nesmith, your power forward, Jabari, whomever, and Al Horford, I like that. Horford provides some shooting. If Richardson can find some shooting, Nesmith provides some shooting, then Schroeder can have some lanes to go and score and be whatever he is. And then there's shooting around them that allows for that lineup to score. More than likely, you're going to have, you know, maybe Brown and four bench guys, Tatum and four bench guys. One of those two, like, there aren't going to be, I don't think, a ton of minutes where both of those guys are off the floor. But hey, if there's an opportunity, if Nesmith can be good enough where you can give both of those guys some time off the floor together, and it is Schroeder in a bench unit, then great. Now you have Pritchard there in the third string point guard, which is going to be an interesting scenario because Pritchard has the ability to really step up and be a shooter that the Celtics need, high energy guy that the Celtics need. What does Romeo Langford give them? What do Grant and Bruno Fernando give them? Cantor is a situational big. I think the floor for this starting lineup, this rotation, I think it's going to be a little better offensively than maybe some people think, a little worse defensively than maybe we'd want, at least what I think going into the season, but still pretty good, decent, right? How they tinker with that around there is, you know, the strengths will be obviously on the second unit. There could be some real shooting on the second unit. Maybe the bench, the depth could be a pretty good scoring bench. The starting lineup will rely mostly on defense and then getting Tatum and Brown just some opportunities. That's going to rely on a lot of that ball movement like that Udoka has been asking for. And then situationally, some of these other guys. My biggest question is, where do Pritchard's minutes come from, and what does Langford give? Langford being anywhere better than okay changes a lot of the calculus for the Celtics. If he earns 15 to 20 minutes this season, then that's a good problem to have, but the Celtics will have a lot of added depth. If Langford can be good, then the Celtics have more opportunity to sit Tatum and Brown for longer stretches, keep them fresh for later in the season. I actually would love that, but I like this. I think this is going to be the way it goes. Chip asks, which Celtic do you think has the best odds of taking home hardware at the end of the year, and how would you rank them in order of likelihood? So he lists Tatum as MVP, Brown makes All-NBA, Rob Defensive Player of the Year, Smart All-Defense, Schroeder Sixth Man, Nesmith Most Improved, Udoka Coach of the Year, Brad Executive of the Year, everyone gets the Larry O'Brien. Ranking these in order, I think Smart making an All-Defensive Team is the most likely, followed by Brown making an All-NBA team, Schroeder getting Sixth Man is right there. I might actually move that up above Jaylen Brown, only because it's just so hard to make an All-NBA team. This isn't like the East All-Stars. This is the entire NBA, and they're picking 15 players. So I'll move this. I'll say Smart, Schroeder getting Sixth Man is second most likely, then Brown, then Tatum as MVP, because again, it's incredibly hard to win an MVP. I think he can have an awesome season and get MVP votes, but I don't think he's going to get the MVP. There's a lot of other good players, Giannis, Durant, LeBron, Jokic, a lot of guys can get MVP. So Tatum winning MVP over all of them is just, it's tough for me to believe that that's going to happen just because of statistics, the odds. I'll put Coach of the Year. I'll put Coach of the Year above Tatum. I'll put Tatum MVP below Udoka getting Coach of the Year. Then Nesmith. Now, then I'll go Brad Executive of the Year, Nesmith Most Improved, and then the Larry O'Brien Championship Season. I think that's about right. I think it's a safe bet to say Marcus Smart can make an All-Defense Team, and I think Jaylen making an All-NBA Team is a decent shot. He could have a decent shot, third-team All-NBA. Schroeder's going to have a lot of opportunity to make Sixth Man That I think has, there's a real chance there. I'm going to start talking myself into Schroeder being the most likely candidate before I finish answering this question. But it's right up there. Those are likely. Schroeder, Smart, those I feel good on. I'd put money on those. Brown making an All-NBA team is a long shot. If you're a betting person and that's something you want to take, you could probably get good odds where you throw a little bit of money on there but get a good return. Everything else, Rob, oh, did I put Rob Defensive Player of the Year? That's like near the bottom. He's just not going to play enough to have that kind of impact. That would be great, but I would be surprised. But who knows? We'll see. All right. We're going to come back. Someone asked me a great question. I want, what was the first moment that you realized I want to do basketball for the rest of my life? I'm going to answer that when I come back. First, I'm going to tell you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. Tastes like a candy bar, but it's a healthy protein bar. If you go to Built.com, they actually do side-by-side comparisons. They don't hide anything at Built Bar. Side-by-side comparisons with other protein bars on the market. Side-by-side comparisons with other candy bars that you could buy. So if you're going to buy something for even a snack or a treat, this is actually pretty good because in each of these, you're getting 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging between 130 and 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, healthy, delicious, and some of these flavors are just amazing. Flavors for everybody, fruity, coconutty, chocolatey, all of that stuff. And if you've got a nut allergy, no problem. There are plenty of options for you. And if you go to built.com, you're gonna get special flavors that drop out of nowhere, special different kinds of Built Bars, Built Puffs, Built Balls, they're all there. Go to built.com, check it out. Then use the promo code LOCKED15, you're gonna get 15% off every single time you go. So buy one thing, buy 10 things, just use that promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off every time at built.com. Thursday night, this is the Thursday show, it's football, baby, football is back. We got opening night in the NFL, so go to BetOnline, your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season. Updated odds, props, contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survival contest. It's all at BetOnline right now. Go there, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Sign up today, you'll get a 100% welcome bonus. 100%, whatever you deposit, your first deposit, $200, $300, you'll get that matched right now with the promo code LOCKEDON. You can also use the promo code NFL100 for tonight's game between the Bucks and Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25, so you get a free bet. Check it all out. You even got your favorite Vegas casino game. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Just told you about BetOnline. They bring us the Locked On Bets podcast every day. Your boy Q, Lee Sterling, have you covered across the betting world. Daily picks, blowout specials, the wrong team favored. What WTF on Locked On Bets. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast. All right, Mike B asks, I'm sure your experience with this is vastly different than mine, so I thought this would be a fun question to ask. What was the first moment you realized I want to do basketball for the rest of my life? And what was that moment? Now, Mike went on to share a nice story. It's a tragic story in a way, but also how basketball kind of came in and saved him, which thank you for sharing that, Mike. I appreciate you sharing that with me. So I don't have a moment where I was like, aha, this is it. My basketball journey was kind of weird. I played basketball as a kid and then quit because I grew a lot really young and I was completely uncoordinated. No, I was big and soft and couldn't do a push-up when I was like in middle school and couldn't do just, I was not coordinated. I didn't get my coordination until like my senior year of high school. My freshman year of high school, I was absolutely the worst basketball player on the face of the earth. It was just horrible, but I was 6'4 as a freshman in high school, or 6'3 at that point. And my coach just said, hey, you can't teach height, and decided that he wanted to keep me around, and instead of cutting me, coached me up. And it took a while. It wasn't until my senior year that I finally broke out. But my senior year, I started to, you know, realize that basketball was something I really was into. I went to basketball camps at Providence College every year. I went to other basketball camps, smaller ones. I played in summer leagues. All along, I kind of was always like really trying to get better at basketball. Then somewhere in college, when I went to Emerson College, I basically went with the thought of, I love sports. I love to talk. I sit here and I do a podcast by myself looking into a camera, and I blah, 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 blah for just forever. I could talk for an hour. I have to stop myself at 30 minutes. So I love to talk. I like being on camera. I never have an issue with that, very obviously. I thought, all right, let me go try and do that. Then it was a slow build. Like, basketball was always a slow build to me. In college, I grew a lot. And like inside, not outside. I'm 6'5". So I didn't grow tall. I grew as a person. And a lot of that was basketball. I was very much a boy going into college. And basketball toughened me up a lot. An opportunity to play in Greece came out of nowhere. And even though my career was cut short, very short by injuries, I only got to play one season before I just couldn't play anymore. It really started to kind of hammer home that, hey, you know, there could be something here. Fast forward to redsarmy.com. And we started this blog, Chuck McKinney and I, who's going to be, by the way, in on that Brad Stevens series that I'm doing over the next 2 weeks. Chuck McKinney and I, in 2006, decided to start the blog redsarmy.com when the Celtics were at their absolute worst, which tells you what kind of maniac I am about basketball, because the Celtics were god awful and we were like, let's start a blog about this. And it was all just goofy photoshops, just having fun, really just irreverent stuff. And slowly as the page views came in, slowly as the blog started to take off, it started to show me, like, okay, all right, this is where I can really maybe turn this into something. I'd been working in television at WBZ at the time and working mostly behind the scenes, and I continued to work in television for a while after that, but all the while I was keeping up with redsarmy.com. There was at some point there, and remember now, I'd had all of this passion for basketball built up in me, and I just kind of excused away that it wasn't going to be possible. I kind of always had that desire to do it, but I always thought, like, you know, I'm going to work in TV. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to work in the news business and do this. And I always kind of hated it. Working in news is terrible. You see the worst of the worst. I mean, I saw footage that could never make air. I was in charge a lot of, you know, all of us are in charge of, you know, we see footage, especially post 9/11. I saw all of that stuff. And I had to be like, whoop, nope, this can't go on TV. But I saw it, and which is horrible. And so the passion for basketball, that job, and the internet kind of giving me this opportunity suddenly pushed me to think, like, okay, you know what? I can keep doing what I'm doing, but I can just focus on basketball. So a lot of things helped me grow. Basketball really helped shape who I am as a person. It taught me a ton of lessons. It taught me a ton of how to act, how to rebound from failure, how to try to put things behind you when all of a sudden, you know, you learn how to learn from your mistakes. And look, I've made plenty of mistakes over the course of my life. I'll continue to. That's what being human is. But basketball has taught me how to deal with that. Basketball has taught me how to be a good teammate, or how to lead when I needed to lead, and how to take direction when I needed to take direction. And so all of that is part of me realizing I wanted to do basketball for the rest of my life. RedsArmy.com tied it all together. And somewhere after the championship, it, you know, the readership was high enough where I thought that was legitimate. And I really started to try to pursue those opportunities. Now, it took a little while, but I think that along with this podcast, the Locked On Podcast Network came along and took me and Jay King and said, hey, you guys are doing a podcast. Will you join us? We're trying to do this thing. I think those two things combined for us and for me to really make it and do this as a career. So that's kind of more my story. That's my story here as how I kind of grew into basketball as my job. It wasn't one aha moment. It was always just kind of there. And I'm very happy about it. Like I have told everybody, I've written about this before, but people ask me about being a Celtics fan or are you still a Celtics fan or whatever. And doing this job, fandom of any particular team tends to kind of fade away because my job isn't to sit there and root for a result. My job is to sit here and watch what happened and tell you why it happened. Tell you why good results are good and are they sustainable? Tell you why bad results are bad and can they be changed and all of that stuff. And so I'm not rooting for anything. And I also tell people that if I were to go to Los Angeles, because the LA Times hired me and I was around the LA Lakers, now I grew up a Celtics fan, but being around guys and seeing how hard they work and all of that, you do tend to root a little bit for the guys that you're covering because you see the work, you see that they're just guys who are working. This is basketball, this is their life. They happen to wear a certain jersey. Now, while you can sit there and be like, you know, F the Lakers and blah, 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 and all that stuff. If I were working in LA for the LA Times and covering the Lakers on a regular basis, there would be a part of me that said, yeah, you know what? I do hope these guys do well because you see them putting in the work. So yes, there are guys on this team. There are guys who are no longer with this team. Carson Edwards just got traded. I hope he does well because I saw him putting in the work and he seems to be a good kid and he's just trying to figure things out. And so I got nothing against him. I got nothing against him for being on the roster. I got nothing against him for being the player that he is. No, this is, I hope he does well. I think he will do well. So my fandom, my allegiance is to the game of basketball because it has given me all of this. And so my loyalty is to the game. My loyalty is to the game. I want the game to be respected for what it is. And it's more than just 10 guys out there trying to put a ball in a basket, trying to stop the other team from putting a ball in a basket. It is a game. But for me, it's a lot more. It's something that's molded me and shaped me and given me the opportunity to do something that I love to do and give me a good life. I'm a lucky, lucky, lucky person. And all I ever want to do is give back to the game. And I couldn't do it as a player. I only got so far as a player. I can do it this way. And that's why I want to learn everything I can do or everything I can about NBA basketball, salary cap, so I can explain it to you. My way of giving back is to give you the opportunity to maybe enjoy basketball a little bit more, learn a little bit more, and see it the way I see it. And hopefully it enhances your experience. We need more people involved in basketball and more women, more little girls, more people from countries that are underrepresented. We need to have different, we need all of these people, we need everybody to get together and enjoy the game the way I do. So that's my basketball story. I hope you've enjoyed that. Tomorrow, finishing off the mailbag question, so subscribe. And again, next week, starts a 7-episode deep dive into Brad Stevens and his coaching career. So please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and also on YouTube, subscribe, rate, review, all of that stuff, leave comments and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.